am? I'm God. You're pointing to me the silliest little thing. They're funny. The things that you tell me, I can't do. Because you're too old to have a baby and your wife's womb is closed and I can't do anything about it. Do you trust me? The son of laughter. I laugh at this. This is God speaking. I laugh at what's going on here. You've got to understand, I promised him I will give him to you. Look at verse 20. Then you're through. We've got to move on to verse 20. As for Ishmael, he tells him something about Ishmael. I have heard you. In other words, he heard Abram's prayer for his other son. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful. He will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great... That is so important in the spiritual warfare, but not in our study. Verse 21. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you this season next year. And when he finished talking with God, God went up from Abram. Now, the whole issue is that God is showing us it's not going to be by the natural way of man. There is no power on earth that is going to bring about the son of promise. It is God who's going to bring about, either in Isaac or in Jesus Christ. Is that clear? It's not in Isaac. They're too old. Not in Jesus Christ. He's a virgin. Impossible situations, I do it. Your salvation is impossible, but I do it. Your recovery from sin is impossible, but I do it. Will you trust me? Your life is impossible. Trust me. Son of promise. It's so important in the birth of our Savior and in what God is doing. Look with me at Genesis 18. Look with me at Genesis 18. Verse 9. And they said to him, where is Sarah? And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. This is Christ speaking to him as one of the strangers who came from afar. Well, your wife will have a son. Now, like this, Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Not only was she past childbearing, she was barren. She couldn't have children even when she was young. So she's in double jeopardy here. Past childbearing, son of promise, unusual birth. Now, verse 12. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? I like her attitude. Shall I have pleasure? Having this child, her reaction is just like Abraham. I'm not going to get off on a big discussion about them because she follows the same pattern of Abraham. He laughed and she laughed. So here in chapter 17, Abraham laughed. Chapter here, she laughed. They probably belong together. They both have the same sense of humor. Alright? Verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, this is just so personal and so real, and I hope that as we continue in our study, you develop a personal relationship with the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham, hey, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I indeed hear a bear child when I am old? God also, remember when we read about Abraham, it was in his own mind that he thought it, and Christ just read his mind out loud. God did. Now, he does the same thing with Sarah. They follow perfectly together. They really belong together, Sarah and Abraham. They have the same sense of humor, and they both like to deny. For the same reasons, look what her denial is. Is anything different? And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh? Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? That's the test of faith of the promise. The opportune time, I will return to you. At the appointed time, people, son of promise Isaac, son of promise Jesus Christ, not when you and I think it ought to be, not when the Jews think it ought to be, God does it. The appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh. Why did she deny it? The same thing we're studying in 1 John chapter 1. Why do people deny fear? For she was afraid. People don't ever be afraid. The truth is sin. The greater truth is the cross. No. And he said, no, but you did laugh. and fear will often lead to that denial. Okay, so that you don't miss the text, let's look at Romans chapter 4. Look at Romans chapter 4. We read Romans 9, now look at me at Romans 4. Romans 4, 16. For this reason, I pray, please, I know these seats are not comfortable and it's getting late, but just stay with it now. Stay in the spirit and he'll take care of your body. Okay. For this reason, it is by means of faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Dear people, faith in God is the only thing that is compatible with grace. Remember the first I told you there are two kingdoms. Kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. They both have a law. Kingdom of God is the law of grace. Kingdom of Satan is the law of works, merit. The only thing for your redemptive salvation, recovery from sin, blessing in your life, God acting in your life, all these things is by our faith. It's the only thing compatible. There's nothing that you and I can say or do that will impress God. It's our faith and his work. Okay. For this reason, it is by means of faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. What in the world does that mean? Those who are of the law, those who are of the faith of Abraham. It's the law of unlimited atonement, the doctrine of unlimited atonement. Jesus Christ is still promised to the nation of Israel, even though many are rejecting it and go by the law. But there are those who will say, no, it's not by law, it's by faith in the promise. Verse 17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. What does not exist? What is dead? Abraham and Sarah's body are dead. Isaac, the son of promise, doesn't exist. I'm going to bring him forth. Trust me. What does not exist? A means for Mary to give birth to a child. She's a virgin, unmarried. I will call it into being. I will do it. Trust me. Faith becomes the great issue. Verse 18. In hope against hope, he believed. What does that mean? That means when everything looks hopeless and helpless, no hope whatsoever for him, no hope for Sarah, yet he believed. People, when you're in that position in life, and if you just looked at the circumstances of life, and it's a joke, I'm just going to have to ride this out, man, and just die because there's nothing God can really do as it's just all over for me. Poor you. And you know what? God's just smiling. If you trust me, I'll show you what I can do. I can bring into being that which is not. I can raise the dead. I can raise the dead. I can make Sarah and Abram sexually alive. I can bring into existence Isaac. I can bring into existence and a virgin, the birth of the promised son, Jesus Christ. I can do this thing. Trust me. See, note, it's a very important thing. Hope against hope. There's nothing to hope for. I mean, these are wonderful sermons and wonderful ideas, but you got to look at my life. I'm this and I'm that. People who laugh, that's what this is all about. That's why the promised son, that's why the son of Isaac and the promised son, Jesus Christ, to show us. It's not going to be by your thinking. You think it's all over. You think this. You think that. No, it isn't. I'm God. Okay. In order that he might become, verse 18, a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Faith is the battle. Now, at first he laughed, but he said, okay. At first Sarah laughed. She said, okay, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to pull this off. In fact, I'm going to enjoy being here to watch how you're going to do this. So this is what's going on without becoming weak. See, look, here I have a promise of the son. I'm physically dead. My wife's physically dead. We're too old to have children. Too late. But I trust him. I trust him. Look at the circumstances of your life sometimes. There's no way God can save this marriage. There's just no way. The marriage is over. There's just no way God can take care of this family issue. There's just no way that God can take care of me and bless me in my life. There's just no way. It's just, he waited too long. And if that's the way God wants to be, then all right. That's not faith. That is not faith. That's being contentious, bitter. So, right. Now, all of those things I examine. I look at all these things. And everything says, don't trust God. But you know what? I trust him. I trust him. He's got it. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, verse 19, as good as dead since he was 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Faith is the battle. Verse 2. But I also want to remind you, faith is also the victory. I always got to start saying that. I know faith is the battle, but I want you to understand that faith is the battle, but if you will trust, victory. Okay, now verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Grew strong in faith, and he's dead. Sexually. And he becomes stronger in faith. Not weaker. Not weaker. Stronger. In that year. Remember God said, I'll come in the same season next year, and you'll have there's no way. And he just looks at all these things, but I trust you. And he became stronger in faith. Verse 21, yet being fully assured that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. God is the object of faith. Therefore, also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Salvation 1. Why? Because of his faith. Look at Romans 9:6. Romans 9:6, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. For they are not all Israel who are descendants of Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendant will be named son of promise, is Isaac. Verse 8, that is, it is not the children of the flesh, not by the desire of the will of the flesh, who are the children of God, but the children of promise are regarded as descendants, those who believe. Those who believe. Faith. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a child. Look with me at Hebrews 11. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. By faith, trusting God, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. Everything in the material world speaks against him. He promised a child, he's dead, sexually, and his wife's dead. He promised land, he's living in a foreign land. He's living as a captive in the land. Everything in as far as the human eye is concerned, don't trust God. Will you dare to trust him? Will you dare to trust him? Is the issue. By faith, he lived an alien in the land of promise. There's no way this is going to become my land. As a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, the future promise of the Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for he was looking for the city which has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God, not man, but God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, her trusting God, not her doubting, but her trusting God. What a phenomenal woman. Receive the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Her faith is in God. God is the only one who